We're going to run down some of the rules of how we operate these town hall meetings, and just to let everyone know what it is that we're trying to do. So for those who do not know, my name is Brother Lou, and I will be your host for this evening's festivities. I want to thank everyone for coming and attending another Black Wallets Matter town hall meeting. If this is your first time calling in, like I said, we're just going to go over some of the ground rules so that we can have a very productive discussion this evening. During these calls, we do not discuss religion, the black male and female dynamic, or political party affiliation. We can discuss politics as it relates to our people and how we can use it here in America to improve our situation, but we do not want to get into an argument about who did what and, who didn't do anything. If you notice, when you called in, I addressed you as either brother or sister, and the reason we address each other as such is to show respect and as a sign of solidarity. For all the guests on the call, a guest is someone who is visiting us for the first time or who has not yet become a member of the organization. Let me tell you a little bit about Black Wallets Matter. Black Wallets Matter is a member association comprised of brothers and sisters that believe the only way we're going to fix problems in the black community is if we do it ourselves and start using the power of the black dollars we already have. It is estimated we spent $1.3 or $1.4 trillion last year. So if we were to pool our resources and practice group economics, we could have a major financial impact and transform our community. This is a form of black capitalism. Depending on how you feel about socialism and or any other kind of isms, unfortunately, capitalism is the system that we live under, and it would behoove us to learn how to use our money and leverage it to gain power. The purpose of the membership of the member association is to bring together like-minded brothers and sisters who are sick and tired of the sad state of affairs in the black community and are motivated to take action. So the first thing you need to understand is when you have a systematic problem such as we have here in America with the oppression and injustice that we face, you need a systematic solution. We are just tired of sitting around and talking and discussing what we could and what we should do, but never actually doing anything. So I want to ask everyone who's on this call tonight, when will enough be enough for you? You can have dialogue with your family and your friends and, those that you know in your network, but at what time or at what point do we start taking action as a collective and start improving conditions? The overall goal of this organization is to realistically change the economic, political, and social conditions of black people here in America and abroad, because now we are being contacted by brothers and sisters all across the world. But I believe it will take a generation or two to achieve this goal. It will require a sacrifice from those of us who can do to do for those who cannot. We have to be selfless. That's really what it calls for. We will have to be the quote-unquote elders so that the future generations of black people, your children, your grandchildren, will not suffer the same oppression and injustices that we have today. They need to have it better than us, so we need to put certain protections in place for them now, and that includes wealth and political influence. You just have to be to the point when you're sick and tired of the conditions that we're living in, because what we need to do is set aside our differences, and we have to unite with one another. That is putting aside religious beliefs, that is putting aside political beliefs, and focusing on the goal of rebuilding the black community and the black economy so that we can have money to solve the problems that affect us all. No matter what solution any of us come up with to attack a problem, is going to take a financial investment. Other ethnic and social groups have proved that this works. You can look at the Jewish community and the LGBT community. There was a point in time in American society when they were vilified, when they were being targeted, and look at the type of power and influence they have now. They have organized, they have put their money where their mouth is, And right now, you cannot touch either of those organizations without it being deemed a hate crime. We need that same status. There are a lot of things that are going on with us right now in the community, and if someone, you know, we need to lobby and put and position ourselves to the point where if someone does something to us, it is deemed a hate crime. And that is only going to come with political influence. Again, so like I said, I want to ask everyone on the call to just please put aside your differences, because so that we can move forward. With a group of like-minded brothers and sisters, here's the type of things that we can do. When we say using our black wallets, or, you know, our black wallets matter, it doesn't necessarily mean we spend our dollars in every instant. It could mean that we withhold our dollars from businesses and entities that do not respect our patronage or have our best interests in mind. As the biggest consumers in the American economy, you can believe that if we united and boycotted certain businesses, we could have a major impact on the U.S. economy. And realistically, that's the kind of action that we need to take if we want to make America stand up and pay attention. Just imagine if every time one of our unarmed brothers and sisters got killed, or, you know, a police officer gets off for doing one of these types of things, we banded together and killed off one of their businesses. Just let the impact of that sink in, right? So let's say, like, the situation that just happened, I believe that was in St. Louis. The officer got off. Okay, cool. So we all band together and we stop patronizing a brand or a business or something like that. Maybe they won't make the correlation that time, but the next time it happens, another business falls off, they're going to be like, oh, wow, wait a minute. These folks aren't playing. And that's essentially what we really want to do. America fully understands economics, and once we show them that we understand how it works too, then they'll get the message and then they'll stop messing with us. Or at the very least, the businesses who have the power and lobbyists, like what we have going on with the NFL right now, they would be able to put pressure on the powers that be and make them stop messing with us. Now, everyone has their own ideas about how to solve the problems in the black community, but this organization already has its plan. A lot of people, when we first started this, we had like open discussions and we were saying, hey, what should we do about this? What should we do about that? We have the blueprint. It was well thought out, but of course, you know, nothing is perfect the first time around. We have made additions into the direction that this organization is going and the way to address certain issues. And so with that in mind, this organization has three priorities. That is to address the issue of black poverty, which affects over 70% of single black mothers, black unemployment, and underemployment, which affects us at 50% as compared to 9% of white, and this recent wave of racially motivated police brutality. Here is how we plan on addressing these issues. As a member association, Black Wallets Matter collects membership dues. We are not a nonprofit organization. We are structured as a B Corp, which is a benefit corporation. Benefit corporations are businesses that exist for the sole purpose of serving a particular group of people. So Black Wallets Matter exists for the sole purpose of conducting business to help the black community. Memberships start at $10 for the silver level, $25 at the gold, and $50 at the platinum level. Our goal within the next 3 to 5 years is to get 1 million association members. So with 1 million members, this organization will generate over $300 million a year in revenue. With that kind of revenue, we could get a loan for $1 or $2 billion. And with $1 or $2 billion, we could buy large-scale businesses such as manufacturing plants. We could buy regional supermarket chains, and we can employ hundreds and possibly thousands of our brothers and sisters. With the profits from these businesses that we buy, we will build community resource centers in major black cities to provide educational and occupational training to help more of our brothers and sisters enter the job force and get good paying jobs. Skilled trades is something that we are focused on. So that means training our brothers and sisters and becoming electricians and plumbers and welders and things like that. The Community Resource Center will also give our youth a safe place to go instead of hanging out on the streets and getting in trouble. And while they're there, we plan on teaching them about their history and teaching them computer programming skills and things like that, things that are truly useful so that they will be able to take advantage of opportunities in this modern world. And another portion of those profits will go towards hiring lawyers and lobbyists in Washington to protect and enforce our civil rights. This will make it harder for law enforcement to kill our unarmed brothers and sisters and get away with it. This will also provide protections for that those future generations of young men and women who are growing up, who are being more productive, who have more wealth, who have more opportunities. There will undoubtedly be folks who will hate on them, who will target them and things like that. And, you know, that's not our business no more, right? We can't lay down for that. We need to put the protections in place the same as we same as other communities and organizations have. Like I said, other organizations, other groups in this country, they have successfully used laws that were put on the books for us to protect their members. And so it's time that we start doing the same. Now, obviously, these are very lofty goals, and it will take years of hard work to achieve. But to get the ball rolling, we have made an immediate goal for 2017 of 2,000 founding members. The 2,000 founding members will allow this to have a snowball effect. Let's just say at the silver level, 2,000 founding members would provide $20,000 a month in revenue, and that will allow us to start some of these businesses, or at least start some of the smaller businesses, to leverage into larger streams of income. And then that will also allow us to network and reach out to more brothers and sisters. As we all know, our brothers and sisters need to see proof. They need to see that what we're talking about, they need to see that it is working. For those of you, for the members on the call, that remember where we started when it was, I think I want to say about 8 of us maybe on a call, to where we are now, to how we have more brothers and sisters coming in, becoming members each week, watching how our Facebook page and our reach has grown. We started off from exactly 0 in, I want to say, March. We started off from 0. We're at 52,000, 53,000 followers, likes, fans, or whatever, 10,000 people on our email subscriber list, 300-some-odd members. So this thing is working. It is growing. But what we want to do now is we want to start making major impact in local communities, and I will outline that plan to you, brothers and sisters, a little bit later. But that is what the 2,000 founded. That's why we need the 2,000 founded members. These will be the intrepid brothers and sisters who help build this thing. We have to, like I said, it will require a degree of selflessness, and it will require a degree of sacrifice. We're trying to build something that, you know, in my lifetime, I'm 42 years old, that I have never seen before. We do not have the blueprint. So we have the blueprint for Black Lives Matter, but in terms of how to get a bunch of brothers and sisters from different parts of the country to work together and all to understand the different problems that we have. And I mean, I have to be honest, we don't have a culture of really working together with each other. I'm learning that now. We can't put our differences aside. We start arguing and then we want to burn the house down and forget the bigger goal. So this organization is focused on trying to solve those problems so that we can work together and create this format for how, you know, future Black generations, how they're supposed to work together, even if they have religious differences, even if they have political differences. Because the bottom line is the oppression and the injustice that we suffer is targeted to us all. They do not make a distinction. So, again, like I said, so the 2,000 founding members, the things that we do will help raise the visibility of the organization and create a snowball effect. For those who are concerned about how the money is managed, how it's used, we provide full financial transparency. If you become a member, you can look at the financial reports. I post the reports quarterly, but I break them down monthly. You can see exactly how much money the organization takes in. Right now, our biggest expense is marketing because we start from 0. We have new callers New people that come on these calls every single week. New people, like I said, coming to the website. I think we average about 25,000 people to the website a month, something like that. Our reach on Facebook is usually in the millions. About this past week, it's been, just a little shy of a million. And that's because we haven't been posting a lot of controversial things. We've been posting a lot more positive things. And unfortunately, when we post positive stuff, that goes down. A lot of our brothers and sisters don't engage with that content. So I say that we provide full financial transparency just in case anyone is worried about like having another Umar Johnson situation. We like to keep everyone informed every step of the way. So it's very important that we figure out the kinks in this model for all the brothers and sisters that come behind us to follow. Like I said, we're going to stumble around a little bit till we figure this stuff out. But that's what pioneers do. They blaze the trail. They get the arrows in the back to make it easier for those who come after them. As a black man, taking responsibility for my people, standing up to be a leader and things like that, I cannot think of any greater honor than to say, hey, I gave of myself and thought more than just my immediate family. So right now, I am the chief cook and bottle washer. As I said, Brother Lou, so if you call Black Wallets Matter or you text or send an email, I am the one that responds. If someone, wants to volunteer or things like that, normally, I tell people, hey, listen, we're trying to hire the people that we need for the positions so that way we can hold them accountable. Because the type of skills that we need are mainly writing and technical skills. And, a lot of people that call in, they don't usually have those skills that we need at this point. But we, again, like I said, I'll talk a little bit about some of the progress that the organization has made, some of the new initiatives. And then for those brothers and sisters who want to roll up their sleeves and be active in their local communities, we have an option for you. So that pretty much sums up what this organization is about. There, like as I said, there are many different ways to fix the problems that we want to address. But when you boil every problem down to its final compound, it's going to take some degree of money. And so, with that said, I want to personally invite every guest on this call that is, if you have not become a member, join us, right? Become a member. You can dip your toe in the water at the silver level and just ride with us for a little bit. See if it, see if it resonates with you. See if the things we're doing mean anything to you. Or if you, if you want to come in, if you have the resources, then you could become a golden ambassador or a platinum champion. Every little bit helps push us forward. Because as we pool these resources, we can plant the seeds to grow money trees to fund our own business and social projects. That is what other communities do. They pool their resources. They take the money from the businesses, and then they pool that money, and then they go and they create community centers and other things to perpetuate their culture and the way that they want their children to behave in future generations. That is what the Asian community does. That is what the Jewish community does. Even the Mexicans are doing this now. We need to start taking cues at people who have come through this American system of white supremacy and who have thrived nonetheless. They are not making excuses for why they can't. And we're no longer the second largest population, we're the third after the Latino, but we have been here since the beginning. There's absolutely no reason why we should not be making progress now. We have technology on our side. The world is moving at a very, very rapid pace. There has to be a group of us that has to say, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to stand out. We do not have to fear the repercussions that happened like in the past where we went and created like Black Wall Street or one of these other types of things and then the powers that be crushed us. We don't have to worry about those things anymore. One, because of technology, we are capable of being distributed in our membership and our brothers and sisters. The other thing is social organization. There is nothing inherently wrong with that. And if we go and we play the games the right way and we put our money where our mouth is and we start, you know, controlling our politics, that will provide us the protections that we need to do some of these things. So, you know, so if you like what you hear, like I said, I want to invite you to become a member at the very least. So if you do not have the finances to become a member, but you still, you know, you want to support our cause or support our organization, we have a link on the site. It's where you can make a one-time contribution. So you can look at the menu, and there's a single link there. And then at the very least, you can go to our Facebook page and scroll through it. And if there's any type, you know, if there's any post or thing, you know, or videos that resonate with you, you can share it, you can like it, you can, you know, tell your friends about it. Because we do get a lot of word of mouth. I have people call me all day, every day, and they say, hey, listen, my friend was telling, you know, I was complaining, and then my friend gave me this link. So when you get your welcome email, there's a link that I give people, and it says, hey, next time you hear people saying, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, I say, hey, share this link with them. And people have actually been doing it. And so I want to thank people who've done that. And so, oh, and then let me just make this disclaimer. If you see something on our Facebook page that is quote unquote ratchet or, you know, controversial or whatever, please understand that the majority of our brothers and sisters, that is the type of content that they engage with on social media. That's what they consume. So what we do is we will post something like that, then piggyback our message of positivity along with that. And so after they consume the ratchetness, the controversial stuff or whatever, they'll read it and they'll look at the link. They'll click it. They'll, you know, go through the survey or whatever it is. And then, you know, they'll be on the call. Perhaps maybe that's how some of you wound up here. So I am going to put the call in Q&A mode. If anyone have any questions or comments in regards to anything that was said tonight, then you can press *6 on your phone, and we will address that. Give me a second first. So we have a few more callers that have come in, and I want to be sure to get their names so we can be sure who we're on the call with. Any callers that have came in late, and if I didn't get your first name, I'm going to ask you your first name. If you do not want to identify yourself, then unfortunately we are going to have to drop you from the call. So let's see. Caller from 267 area code. Your first name, please.
Hi, Corey Hook, K-H-O-R-I.
Sorry, hold on. K-H-O-R-I?
Yep, Hook, H-O-O-K-S.
Wait, say that again. Sorry, sister.
H-O-O-K-S.
Oh man, I am going to mess that up. K-H-O-O-A-S?
No, K-H-O-R-I is the first name, and last name Hook, H-O-O-K-S.
I'm going to call you Sister K. How about that?
Okay.
All right, thank you, sister. And then let's see here. Caller from 415 area code. Your first name, please. 415-314.
My name is Jahan, that's spelled J-E-H-A-N, last name Mansoor, spelled M-A.
Hold on. The first name, J-E-H-A-N.
Pronounced Jahan.
Jahan. Okay, brother, that's good enough. That is very unique. I don't think we will have any Jahans coming from
each other. Establishing contact, so let me give you my full name and everything, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Okay. My last name is Mansoor, spelled M-A-N, S as in Sam, U-R.
Okay.
My company is Silicon.
Hold on, wait. I don't need that yet, brother. Hold on.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you, brother. Okay.
Okay.
And I'll give you a moment to introduce yourself. Caller from 402. Caller from 402 area code. Your first name, please.
It's Tashana, T-A-S-H-A-N-A.
Sister Tashana. Okay. Thank you, sister.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Caller from 302 area code. Your first name, please. color is going on with this phone. I have to get back to you. Oh, there you go, brother. Okay, your first name, please.
This is 302. My name is Thomas.
Thomas. Okay, brother, hold on. Brother, what is the initial of your last name? We have a few Thomas.
H.
Thomas. H. We have a few Thomas H. So what's the last name again?
Thomas Harrison.
Thomas Harrison. All right, cool. All right, thank you, brother. All right, thank you, brother. Thank you. And let's see here. And then caller from 254 area code, your first name, please.
Yes, my name is Lovester. It's Lovester.
Okay, brother. Okay. Lovester. Thank you so much, brother. And caller from 910 area code, your first name, please.
Yeah, my name is Vaughn, V-O-N.
Okay.
Last name, R.
Okay, brother, Vaughn. Thank you, brother. And
yeah, man.
And that is everyone. So I'm going to put, no, that is not everyone. Caller from 786 area code. Caller from 786 area code, your first name, please. Wait, is this phone doing? Okay, you know what? I am going to just put it in Q&A mode, and then the brother can press star 6, or the brother or the sister. So as I said, if you have any questions or comments in regards to what I went over and pertaining to the organization, you can press star 6. Caller from 786 area code, could you please press star 6 so that I can get your first name? I see you, Brother Cecil. Caller from 786, could you please press star? There you go. Okay. Okay, your first name, please, brother or sister?
It's Irene. Yeah, sister. Irene Casimir. First name, A-R-I-N-E. Casimir.
Okay. All right. I don't think we got Irene, right? Okay.
Yes.
I don't think we'll run into anyone else with that name. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And then I believe there was one more. Okay, we're good. All right, so we are all brothers and sisters here on the call. Brother Cecil. Yes, brother.
You talking to me, Brother Ben?
Yeah, I'm talking to you, brother.
Brother Cecil.
Brother Lou.
Brother Lou, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Okay, first of all, Brother Lou, I this is my second time on the call. I missed one last week, and that's because, the first time I came on, I told you I work these hours, and again, I'm at work. So I probably won't be able to finish the call, and would that be a problem?
No, absolutely not.
Okay,
absolutely
all right, because I am at work. So I just have a few questions and a statement or two. At first, when I came on the call tonight, it seemed that there was more women coming on the call, and I was surprised at that. But then some more brothers started coming on the call, so it kind of like made me not want to ask the question, why is there more women calling in? Anyway, my other question is that I am excited about this, and I am a silver member, and the more I come on, the more I get more excited, because this is a much, much needed movement, and I'm happy to be a part of, because there needs to be some sort of answer to our plight, and this seems like the perfect vehicle that will get us where we need to be as a people. So I'm excited about it. And again, I came in as a silver member, put my foot in the water, my toe in the water, and more than likely I'll become more of a financial member. So here's my other question is that what makes this movement better than the movements of the past?
Well, can brother, you kind of tell me that? We're not going to start with the better. We can say different.
Different,
right?
Okay.
So we can say different. So, as I studied black organizations in the past, they had like one charismatic leader at the head of it, and he was moving everything. He was like, you know, pretty much dictating everything, and everyone was looking for him to take cues for what we do next. And then what happened is, as you know, we know what happened with the leaders. When the head gets cut off, then the body dies. What this organization is geared to, and which is the reason why I'm trying to push for 2,000 founding members so fast, what we are trying to do is implement a system. This is not the Brother Lou show. This is not Brother Lou's organization. When I, you know, if anyone who calls me and speaks to me individually about the organization, I say our. When someone makes a suggestion, there have been plenty of members who have made suggestions. I say, okay, cool, let me go and implement them, you know, if they make sense or whatever it is, or within my ability. What we're trying to do is we're trying to create a system. The cultural change amongst our brothers and sisters, I do not think we're going to make a change by going out and just talking to people. That's just not going to happen. It has never worked. What has to happen is we have to train the babies. We have to train. I look at how other communities, what they do. They take their children, and let's just take the Jewish community. They send their children to yeshiva school. So they're paying taxes. They live in the community. They may live right across the street from you or whatever, or even next door to you, but they do not send their children to that school. They send their kids to the yeshiva school. What those children learn basic reading, writing, arithmetic, but they also learn how to speak, I forgot the language, Yiddish or whatever it is, Jewish. They learn to speak Jewish, and they learn Jewish culture. And that's what we need. There's a gentleman by the name of Jeffrey Canada. He did that at Harlem Children's Zone. And he was able to change. He was able to make a major impact in Harlem. And so that is essentially what we need to roll out nationwide. We need people who, again, as I said, we don't need anyone who's a glory hound, and not to say that the organizations in the past did that. The other thing is, aside from Martin Luther King, none of the other organizations played the political game the right way. Martin Luther King was the only black leader we had who played the political game the right way. He's the only one who actually left us something or anything on the books. No matter how you may feel about him versus Malcolm versus this person versus whatever, the facts are he is the one who had left things on the books, because what he did was he went in and he negotiated with the powers that be. When they didn't give him what he wanted, he went back to like Stokely Carmichael and them guys right there and said, now go down there and disrupt their business. Go down there and tell whatever, whatever. And the beautiful thing about him was, a lot of people don't want to give MLK the credit. This brother, after he finished negotiating with the politicians, he went, took off the suit and went and threw on the jeans, the dungarees, and went out there and, you know, got bit by the dogs and hosed down and everything. So now we don't need to do that. There's different tools now. It's businesses. Businesses are the ones that are creating the policies. Businesses are the ones that are creating the change. And here's the other thing too, right? It's not just targeting us. It's targeting everybody. I just care about us, because the Jews save themselves. You can look at the Latino people, the Arabs, the Asians. They're saving themselves. They're saving themselves, and we need to do the same. That's what I think is different about this organization.
Thank you, brother.
All right, you're welcome. All right, cool. So we have – oh, wait a minute. Did I just hang up? Wait, Sister Rhonda, weren't you in the queue? She just left the meeting. Peace, Sister. It's Kedra, right?
Yes, Kedra.
Yes. Okay, 617. You're from Boston?
Yeah, I live in Boston.
From the Bean. All right, sister. Lay it on.
Born and raised in Boston. Yes. So I'm brand new to the call. I found you on Facebook. This sounds really interesting. I definitely want to join. I kind of want to talk about, like, the next steps after, like, joining. What does that actually, like, I know that it'll be will be a part of a group, but what would the next steps be?
So I am going to go over this ambassadorship program. So right now we are in growth phase. We are in recruitment mode to get more brothers and sisters into our world to you know, so that we can start doing some of the things that we want to do. And I will outline this ambassadorship program, which is essentially allowing brothers and sisters to create chapters or things like that in their local communities, and then, you know, creating impact and change that way. Okay? So just give me a little bit for three people in the queue. I don't know if you can hang out. I hope that you can, because then I'll outline exactly, like, what the plan is.
All right, perfect. Thank you.
Yep, no problem. Brother Vaughn. Peace, brother.
Peace, my friend. So I love, first of all, I'm new to the call as well, and I love the message and what you're talking about. And not to be the stickler in the mud, but as you said before, you know, as a people, we tend to, we have trust issues with each other, right? And what kind of transparency do you guys are we going to have with where the funds are going? And
okay.
Go ahead.
No, I said I addressed that. I said we provide financial transparency. I said when you become a member, you log in, and then you look at, you're able to see exactly what's going on.
Right, right. That's cool. And I was also listening to you a second ago when you were speaking about the Jewish and the way they send their kids to yeshivas. I'm currently in Muncie, New York, is where I'm living, and I don't know if you're familiar with the area.
You said Muncie, New York?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they have a large Jewish population here, man, and they, like I say, they have it figured out, the unity and the economic. So I kind of I've been watching them as well and trying to you know, figure out what they know.
Yeah, they have that big transportation, that Muncie, the trails or something, Muncie trails or something, the buses and all of that.
But I'm totally down for it. Now, when the last sister spoke, she asked a question. You said you can the next step will be able to do something in your local area. Like, what does that look like? What are you speaking of there?
Well, I'm going to roll it out in a minute. I have quite a few questions in the queue, and I'll tell you this though. You're probably the first person that I have ever come on the call from that part of New York. So I don't know what it's going to look like for you, because it may be hard, but I don't know. We'll figure it out.
You feel me with the Jewish population? I feel you. All right, brother.
Okay, cool. Sister Eunice. Peace, sister.
Hello. Yeah, this is Eunice, and this is my first time on the call. My first question is that, do you allow African descent? I'm an African. I'm from Ghana, but I'm really much impressed about what you are doing. I'm here in Georgia, and I just want to know if you allow Africans to be part of the Black Wallet group.
Of course. And the great brother mood out, we have a bunch. Of course.
My second question is that, as an African, and now, I mean, as an African-American in the United States, you said something about culture, and I'm interested in African-Americans, I mean, Black Americans who are here like yourself, integrating with the African community, and we becoming as one people. And if that is possible, then I think we can be a very power source, because whatever we're doing, I've seen that you see the African people are side, and then the black Americans are the ones championing their cause, because I know that is how it is. But is there any way we can figure out to link these two groups of us so that we can be powerful in terms of cultural exchange and learning and things like that, which, of course, I have started doing it. And I just want to know how we can integrate it with the Black Wallets program.
There are some, so Brother Mudok, he is basically, so he's, I don't know if he's from Ghana, but he is saying what we need to do to bridge the gap is teach the children. So we have to teach the children that they're brothers. You understand what I'm saying? Or brothers and sisters and things like that. Because he was saying something like that a while, you know, some months back, and him and I were talking, and we were saying, you know what, if we put together a computer lab and they learn right next to each other and they come up and then, so, you know, and they learn like this new definition of what it means to be black, where it's like black people, they help one another, they pool their money, they don't kill each other, they don't do this, blah, blah, blah. It's easier to teach a child that as opposed to the adults, because we're set in our ways and we have like that problem. So that's why I'm saying it's going to take an intrepid group of brothers and sisters to put our differences aside. It's not going, you know, so I don't want anyone to think for a moment I am sitting here saying everyone needs to change, or every black person needs to, you know, come on board with this mission or this message. We only need about 1 to 2, we need about 2%. If we had 1 million black folks, African, black, whatever it is, even Cubans or whoever it is that identify with the culture, that will allow us to create the type of change that we really need. And one of the things is people need to see that by coming together, we can provide, we can have more. So if, let's say if we were to create, let's just say if we were to create like a training program, like the brother wanted to, he wanted to create a training program. If he opens it up, and then so African Americans and Native Africans are working side by side, they create something, they grow something, that is going to be more beneficial for everyone. Sister Grace, she's African. She wants to teach people in the Raleigh-Durham area how to braid. She wants to teach the women that type of thing. So it's definitely ways to bridge the gap. And we're gonna have to figure it out, sister. That's what I said. That's why I said we are going to be the trailblazers. We're gonna have to figure it out.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm putting a poetry recital together for our community. So I hope Black Wallets will acknowledge that, and we have more of our people patronize it, so we can do things together. So I'll let you know how we can partner it together for our community to take that stage, and we use that stage also to let people know about Black Wallets.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sister. I appreciate it. Okay, next in the queue, we have Brother Barry J. Brother Barry?
Good afternoon, Brother Lou. How are you doing today?
Peace.
Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can.
Yes, great. Awesome. It's a pleasure being on the
show. Wait, not anymore. Not anymore. I don't know. You just faded away.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Can you hear me now? Is it better?
Yep, excellent. Yep.
Is it better? Yep. Okay, great.
Yep.
Awesome. I really appreciate even just being a part of Black Wallets, Matt. I just actually became a part of it. I was watching one of your videos the other day, and my wife, you know, said, Barry, this is your avenue right here. You need to get yourself signed up. I said, well, you know what, babe, sign me up, you know. And
tell, I was just tell actually wife you said thank you.
Exactly. But she actually understood exactly what dynamics I needed to be around. And I'm so happy that I was given an opportunity to just even get on the call with you guys tonight for the first time. But one of the things that I wanted to say, not so much as a question, but I realize that we have a lot of callers on here, and I fully understand the mission, because that's where my mindset is at 24 hours, 7 days a week. I preach this. I live and die with this this type of mentality, and the direction that you're going is awesome. And I just kind of really appreciate all of the people who took the time out of the schedule to really just get on the call, to be listeners, to be people who can explore some vision, you know, and take Black Wallets Matter to an entirely new level. One of the things that I wanted to make a statement on is that I know that we're trying to reach a different plateau with building this type of dynamics, but one of the things that I think, and we will talk about it on a later date, is creating the dynamics with the individuals that we have already on the call, how to create financial income amongst ourselves from a level where we don't have to do any work to make it happen. And a lot of times, our culture, when it comes to our culture, we kind of stray away from that educational factor in terms of building within ourselves. I always have to coin that phrase, we call it franchising within ourselves. And we have not had an opportunity as a culture to do that amongst ourselves. I heard one gentleman earlier tonight talking about the word trust. That word trust is very, very big when it comes down to building. When you first start off with anyone, I believe that if you come in the door not trusting, then you automatically tear down the future. So I think that one of the curriculums I was, you know, wanting to talk to you about at a later date is building a chain of trust amongst the partners and the viewers and the listeners, people who are watching you every single day, once they get an opportunity to get on a call and get to hear the curriculums that are in place for building Black Wallets Matter. Because one thing is to be a part of a movement to give away your money to make a better tomorrow, but we have to be able to also as well teach our partners, our future partners, how to create the income as well. So that way, within ourselves, we franchise and we create significant revenue every single month for ourselves to be able to do it outside of our daily income. So I definitely wanted to talk to you about that, and you can kind of see the vision of where that can go, utilizing all the things that we have in front of us today without doing absolutely anything. And that's the great part about Black Wallets Matter. That is one of the great parts, because we can't have success as a unit until we learn how to build with one another, you know. So I think that it's a great thing that you're doing this, and I just want to make sure that we all drive on together and be successfully motivated, because there are going to be days that, hey, it's just some things are not working for me. That'll be the slogan for most, but you have to drive on. It's about being able to, as a unit, collectively, everybody move at the same pace at the same time. You know, that's how an army moves, at the same pace, at the same time, and we steamroll over everybody.
Absolutely.
So with that being
brother.
Said, I'm going to jump off.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. That was very insightful. Yep, we'll definitely connect behind the scenes.
Yes,
okay. So we have Brother Chris J., Brother LaVesta, Sister Shauna, and Sister Ann in the queue. Brother Chris J.
Hey, what's up, Brother Lou?
Peace, brother. Peace.
Hey, man, I just wanted to just go ahead and just say I was on the call. I want to piggyback off of what the brother just said right there, the financial, you know, portion. I'm ready. You motivated me. I set up a whole little mentoring thing that I'm going to set down. I'm going to, you know, offer to our people, 20 people. It's free. I won't charge anything for my time. I set up a website for it and everything, so whenever you do that ambassador thing, I'm sitting here ready in Cincinnati.
Okay, great, brother. Thank you. Yeah, the other sister from Cincinnati, she called today. So, I'll make sure to link you guys up. Let's see here. Hello, brother. Brother LaVesta.
Yes, how's it going?
Peace.
So, me and a couple of my friends, we got a couple of projects in mind right now that's in development. And my question is, as a member, how would we, like, how do you, the selection process, if we wanted to present our project to Black Wallets Matter for funding or something, how would that process go? Or is that somewhere else down the line?
Yeah, that would go down the line. This is not, Well, I mean, I don't know what kind of projects you're talking about. So we're not talking about taking funds and funding individual projects. We have we come to a determination as a group. So we have members meetings, and we discuss things like that. We discuss some of the areas that we want to invest in, or some of the areas that we need to be looking at, and we do that as a group. You understand
okay.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we don't. So this is, you know, it's not a. We're not funding, you know, people's individual projects. Actually, what we're looking towards are businesses that are already operational, generating income. That's what we're looking at.
Okay. Because it's a community thing, so it's going to be a business for the community. But it's just like in the development, and we're working on. Getting our business license and all that kind of stuff now, so it's just something for the future.
Okay. All right. Well, no problem. I mean, if you put it together, you flesh it out or whatever it is. Are you yet a member or no?
No, this is my first time calling, so okay. I've been trying to get in, but I just always missed the call. So I'm planning on becoming a member. So I just wanted to. Okay. That's really my only question I've been having.
Okay, you can flesh out the idea and then present it at one of the members' meetings. All right?
Okay.
All right, thank you, brother. Sister Shauna. Sister Shauna.
Hey, Brother Lou, thank you.
Hey, you know what? That brother could He could have worked with you. Hold on. Let me find him. Where did he go? Oh shoot. Where did he go? Brother Lavesta, if you're still on the call, then press *6. This sister here could actually help you guys with the funding. I'm sorry, sister.
No, it's okay, and I wasn't gonna speak on that. I was just gonna address kind of what you were saying, and it's kind of a question that really is for other people to answer. The areas that we don't know are the areas that still need research. I think what would really help the organization is to find out whether or not you would like to be in that area of research. So you talked about Dr. King and how strategic he was in doing what he needed to do for the cause. But the big part of the biggest issues for organizations like yours, you're a great leader at what you're doing, but you also need folks that's in, you know, Willacoochee, New York, right, that's in the Jewish community. That, I mean, how difficult would it be to ask a question? Why don't we ask? Why don't we research and find out how we can do the things that they're doing? I mean, I don't think there's a
You mean the Jewish community?
Right. The Jewish community is very friendly to the African community.
Well, yeah.
If you
there's a book called The Jewish Phenomenon. The dude lays it out. He's not stingy with the information. He lays it out. It's our cultural differences that we have to overcome. It's common sense. It's really common sense. It's nothing magical and amazing what they have. We just have to get over our own personal hurdles. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I agree with you. I also think it's kind of a matter of what I've always told you. It's just a matter of a select group of people implementing a strategy and just doing it. And, you know, nobody really knew what Martin Luther King's strategy was. You know, we study his strategy now. You know what I'm saying? Is like you don't necessarily need the masses to know what you're doing. You just need a select group of willing people, willing leaders, to put a strategy together and implement it and just bring the people along. That's just kind of my thought.
That's the plan. That's the 2,000 founding members growing. That's the plan. So you are spot on.
That's all I had, brother. I just wanted to make a statement about that.
Okay. Thank you. So we have Sister Ann. Okay. So we have quite a few people in the queue. Just give me a Sister Ann. We have Sister Ann, Sister K. We have a call from 601. I didn't get your name. Brother Lavesta, what happened? What I was trying to say is in the email, the first email that I sent you, there was a link at the bottom that was that asked you if you needed help with your business. It was a link. It's Sister Shauna. Sister Shauna is a business development consultant. She could help you with creative financing and things like that for your business. That's what I wanted to share with you, brother. And then we have Sister Lavonia, Brother Jahan, Sister Rhonda, and Brother Vaughn. Okay, so we have quite a queue. So could you please, brothers and sisters, please be mindful of the other people in the queue behind you. Sister Ann?
Good evening. I'm Ann. I'm calling from Dallas. And I heard you said earlier when you was doing your introduction speech about when is enough with what's going on in our community as far as how we're being treated by everyone else. And I think enough, it's already enough. Like, we don't need to waste any more time as far as deciding what to do. I think the best solution would be to stop spending as much as possible. We have a $1 trillion industry in the Black community, and yet we still are the poorest. We still have a poor community, and I feel that if we stop spending as much as we do, we can turn our community around in no time, $1 trillion. I mean, that's money wasted on other people and resources that we don't use. It does not benefit us at all. So I think we need to look at starting there. Stop spending. The holidays are coming up, and I know people are planning on going out shopping and buying this and buying that. But we need to buckle down and stop spending and invest our dollars in stuff that can grow our money, like the stock market or buying a business, buying homes and stuff like that.
Absolutely, sister. Absolutely. Is there anything else you want to add?
Do you have Sister Shauna's number? I'm also an entrepreneur that's starting out now.
Yep, there's a link. There's a link in the bottom of that email, the first email, not the one that said, my bad, I made a mistake. I said the call was tomorrow, and it was actually today. If you scroll to the bottom of that email that you used to come on the call, there's a link, and she is taking, you can submit your name and phone number and things like that, and the sister will get back to you.
Okay. And as far as this organization, do you plan on adding, like, resources, Sister Shauna, she's kind of a resource as far as getting a business started up or whatever, but
Yes, we do. We plan on I glossed over that during the introduction of Black Wall Street Project. But we do have something where we plan on helping people with the different business information. As the brother said earlier, he was talking about things where people could where they could learn how to generate income and revenue and things like that. So we have that in the pipeline. It's just going to take, it's just going to take a little while for that to happen.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Yep. You're welcome.
Sure. Thank you.
And Sister K. Sister K.
Hey. So this feeds off of what Vester and Shauna were talking about. For any young entrepreneurs, because I am one, we just need to continue working hard and actually believe, because we don't have a lot of extremely successful, but people at the top line with money who can actually do something to help us and fund us and everything that we're trying to do. We don't have a Black person really, or several Black people to look at and model after. But I feel like as long as we keep working hard, we're building that route for other Black entrepreneurs to look at and say, hey, that is possible. It's not as far-fetched as we think it is, because other cultures are actually doing it. Now we need to actually do it ourselves and actually do it. And once we make it happen, we are paving that route for others to follow. And I think that will really help us in that sense. So that's all.
Okay, thank you. Yes, a very insightful sister. Caller from 601, I didn't get a chance to get your first name.
My first name is Laveria.
Hold on for a moment, sister. Okay, let's see. Okay.
Okay, yep. I'm calling from a Mississippi number, but I live in California.
Okay.
My question was, first of all, I wasn't on at the beginning of the call, so I didn't hear all of the information, but I have heard some of the conversation that has been going on before. So my question is, first of all, how long have you Black Wallets Matter been into existence? And, okay, can you answer that one before I ask the other one?
This March.
Okay. Also, is there a plan to... or you already incorporated, planning to incorporate to maybe purchase land somewhere, build our own schools, build our own banks. Is that in the future, in the plan at some point, build our own Wall Street?
Yeah, that is what the, have you had a chance to watch the blueprint? Because we kind of went over a lot of that at the beginning of the call. Did you get a chance to watch the blueprint?
I don't think I have another chance to watch it. If I did, I didn't watch it completely.
It is about us building our own economy, building our own businesses and things like that. I have personally never set my eyes on thinking about like our own land or anything like that. But that is definitely something that's possible. Right now we're setting our sights on trying to make an impact at the local level using the current resources that we have. In regards to our organization structure, we are structured as a B Corp, which is a benefit corporation.
Okay. You mentioned to the other brother who had called and said he had a couple of business ideas. Is Sister Shonda able to help, even though you're not trying to find individual businesses, but able to assist in business plan, business structure, and small business loans, as far as, you know, a business on trying to get on their feet to contribute to Black Wallets Matter.
If you look at the link at the bottom of the email, right, so just click that link. And then fill out that form, and the sister will get in touch with you, and then you'll be able to, you'll be able to sit down and talk with her about your needs and where you currently stand, and then she can tell you the best way to, move ahead with what it is that you plan. That goes for anyone else that's on the call. If you have a business that you're trying to get off the ground or grow or anything like that, click that link in that email. And fill out that form for Sister Shauna, and she will contact you, and then you can discuss financing options for your business. Okay.
I think I have another question or comment, and that is there a plan in place to, like the sister said, stop spending, especially spending in other businesses other than Black businesses, that we can get a message out to people to stop going and buying the name brands and making Calvin Klein and Gloria Vanderbilt and all the others richer, but to stop doing those things, how can we train our people to stop spending our dollars in other people's businesses and channel it back into the African-American community, the African communities?
You saying, does this organization have a plan for that?
We have a plan in place to educate our people because,
I get what you're saying. Now, I may be contrarian in my perspective on that, but the organization does not have a plan in place for that because I don't believe that we're going to be able to do that. The whole world has been forced into consumerism. The powers forces greater than American, greater than the American government are at work in regards to why the world is the way it is. Everyone is forced into consumerism. And so I do not believe that we are going to get brothers and sisters to stop buying the things that they want to buy. What this organization is focused on is using people's existing behavior, right? Because in America, it is so it's cultural for people to spend money on the holidays. It has been engineered that way, and it's not just us, it's everybody. You come to America, so when people in Iran or wherever they are and they see Americans on TV celebrating Christmas, when they get here, give them some time. They will start spending their money foolishly on Christmas too. But so what the organization is set up to do, though, is allow people to spend the money that they're going to spend anyway and then be able to funnel some of that back to us. A lot of people say, hey, we need to be all black everything and we only need to spend money with black people. But if you have earnestly gone out and tried to do that, like the sister Maggie from Chicago, it is very hard to say, I'm going to get everything that I want from all black people, because we do not produce everything. We do not produce all the things we need. So I'm very real. I'm a realist when it comes to this. I recognize some of the things that we will be able to do, and I recognize the things that we will not be able to do. We'll never be able to totally opt out of the system. We'll never totally be able to keep all of our dollars to ourselves. But what we can do is allow our dollars to circulate more within our community, like the most successful, like the most financially successful group on the planet right now, which is the Jewish community. That's about as best as we can do. And even they have not figured out a way to totally opt out of the system. They still have to pay their taxes and all this other stuff. So that's my take on it.
Okay. Well, if we find out what we need, the things we need that we are not producing, and we begin to produce those things, I know that's a long shot, but it's a goal.
No, that actually is not a long shot. That is what we – so I'll give you an example, and we have quite a few people in the queue, but I just want to say real quick, what we can do is provide things that don't require the prestige of, like, name brand, like transportation, housing, groceries, right? So that's what the organization is focused on, things like that, providing jobs to people. If we do those types of things, that will allow us, that would allow the organization to gain more influence with these brothers and sisters. And then what we can do is now we can raise our children. We can raise the children where, hey, listen, you know what? You don't need all this name brand nonsense. That's what we can do. But the current generation, the people who live right now and, you know, who's up and spending the money, we're not going to be able, it's like trying to turn around the Titanic. We're not going to be able to do that. But we can definitely make, we definitely can make an impact with the children. All right?
Okay, thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. Sister Grace, peace. There is a sister here who just asked, she just asked something about people in Raleigh-Durham. Okay, Sister Lavonia, hold on. Lavonia, sorry. Yes, sister.
Yes. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay. This is my first call. So my question is, I noticed that you said that you're not a non-profit organization, but I didn't get, are you for-profit?
For-profit. For-profit. B Corporation.
Okay. And so in that instance, who makes the decisions of where the money goes, what type of corporations or businesses that you buy or start? I guess I'm trying to figure out, like, do you have a board or is it one person right now?
So right now, we have member meetings. So we're not, the organization is not financially supporting itself right now. So we're not even break even. So we aren't buying any businesses as of yet. We aren't doing any other things. Currently what we're looking is to get to the point where the membership is able to sustain the organization. So some of the decisions that we make right now are not hard or complicated at all. It's, hey, we need more members. That's basically where we currently are. And then when we get to that point, it's like, okay, cool, what are we going to do? So what we had a discussion at the last members meeting, we were talking about where people are able to create the change that they need in their local communities. And so then that's how each, you know, members are able to see, have impact and see the change in their local communities. So if, like, let's say we have members from Flint and they need water, well, then they are able to focus on water, and then we have another organization or another group of people someplace else, and they need to focus on, you know, violence, and they're able to deal with it that way. So it's the organization, so the members of the organization get to determine, you know, their, you know, the things that they want to address on a local level.
Right, on a local level, but if all the money is going to the like,
no, the okay, so level. No, so see, this is like I wanted to get to this conversation, but we got a lot of people keep coming in the queue. That's what the ambassadorship program. So the money that from the money from the members at the local level goes to the local organization, and they make a small remittance to the parent organization to help with administrative fees and all of that. But the money that organization raises for their community stays in their community.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Nope. No problem. Brother, what is it, Jay Han, right?
Yes. Thank you.
Peace,
my dear brother. I am Jahan Mansour.
Yeah.
I serve as the founder and chairman of Silicon Valley Africa India Inc. We are a for-profit company based in San Jose, California. The opportunity that we recognize is in playing a leadership role in establishing fair U.S. Africa India trilateral two-way, meaning export and import, global trade, commerce, and market developments under an act that was created by the U.S. Congress in 2000 called the African Growth and Opportunity Act, the acronym AGOA, A-G-O-A. We have been around for a little while, and what we recognize is how to make this system work for us as an ethnic group like it worked for other ethnic groups. What I would like to say just in this short introductory opportunity is that we have a website. The acronym S like Silicon, V like Valley, A like Africa, I like India, I like India, N like Nancy, C like corporation.com. We would very much like to work with you. What we recognize that is missing more than anything else is the need for us to get to know each other so that we can pool our resources. I admire what you've done by starting a B corporation. That's a relatively new kind of for-profit corporation. That's sort of a quasi-public and a non-profit and a for-profit mix. And I recognize that you're trying to capitalize the corporation through a membership drive. What I would like to do, not on this particular moment, but after you look at the website and we can begin to communicate, we recognize, based on our upbringing as Americans of African descent, who we are as a people. The reason we came to America, the slavery experience was for a divine reason. What has happened is, through that process, we have emerged as a new people, and we identify ourselves as Americans of African descent. The reason for this identity is because people in America specifically are grouped into four primary categories, namely European Americans, Asian Americans, Spanish-speaking Americans, and African Americans. Now, it's common knowledge that all of the groups maintain autonomy and independence. We know that Europeans are they're not homogeneous. Multiple European people make up the European group. Same with the Asians. Same with the Spanish-speaking. However, when it comes to the African-American group, there is a concern that we like to point out because it is a means for us to be able to better work together for our independence and our liberation. Specifically, we identify ourselves as Americans of African descent because we have a direct connection to slavery, the legacy from slavery, the sacrifices from slavery have produced who we are, which means that as Americans of African descent, the only country that we can claim allegiance to is the United States of America. Contrary to popular opinion, we cannot claim allegiance to Africa. Africa is a continent. And as such, those members of countries in the African continent, they claim allegiance to their respective country. Now, what's important for us to recognize is that as Americans of African descent, we represent the United States of America. Now, okay. Our challenge.
Hey, brother, hold on. Brother, we got a few people in the call. I don't know. I appreciate the information. I'm trying to discern where you're going with this because it seems like you're giving us a history lesson, and we don't really have the time. These calls last until 11 o'clock. There's still people in the queue. And I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just trying to understand where you're going with the dissertation.
We'd just like to get a chance to have more dialogue. We're very much interested in working with you. We look at the opportunity under this President Donald Trump as being an opportunity. We've all been told that God works in mysterious ways. And the challenge for us is what is this mystery of Donald Trump? And what we see with Donald Trump is an opportunity for our community, Americans of African descent, to play a leadership role in fixing these inner cities, making trade work for American workers, playing a leadership role in that, and then in so doing, helping to revitalize the economy and make profits by engaging in trade and commerce development. We would like to have an opportunity to follow up. As I said, you can look at our website. We have information there. And we would like to have an opportunity to follow up in subsequent meetings.
You know what I would like to do? Let's get the other people in the queue, and then if you can hang out, I want to know exactly what kind of trade you're talking about, what kind of import, things like that. So if you could, if you're going to hang out for the call, let me address the other brothers and sisters in the queue, and then you can get back in the queue because I am interested in the type of import the trade. I did check out your website before, but like I said, I'm just curious to see what kind of trade you're actually talking about. All right, brother?
By all means. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. By all means.
Yeah. Sister Rhonda.
Yes, Brother Lou, I'd just like to make a statement. What Sister Shauna said, I agree with her. I think I mentioned that a couple of calls ago about you having an analyst, and she said researcher, and it basically that falls in line with what I believe also as far as moving the group forward. That's all I have to say.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Sister Grace. Hello?
Yes.
Sister Grace? How you
yes,
doing?
Hi.
Sister, we just had a sister on. I don't know where she is. She just asked if people who from natively from Africa, you know, if they were allowed to be part of the group. Where are you from?
I'm from Liberia, West Africa.
Right. Okay, Liberia. Okay, there you go. I couldn't remember, and I didn't want to say the wrong thing, but I was explaining to her, and then you remember we had Brother Muda, and then we have a few other brothers. But go ahead, sister, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's still on the call.
I just got on this, you know, I came in late, so I missed the whole meeting. So when I got on, I heard.
You heard the sister?
No, I heard another sister talking about how we should educate our black folks and help them, teach them how to have a business and train them how to do certain things. And when she was speaking, that is right within my attic because that's why I built a school. On the other hand, what I have discovered is our people here in America, what I have learned is most of us like to be victims. So it is going to be a challenge trying to train and teach and educate our people how to pull them out of this slave mentality. You know, I just wanted to comment on that because it's a huge, you know, challenge for anyone to try to take on. I tried and I'm still trying. That's why I built a school. And I just came from court. On Tuesday with a previous student who feel the need to try to demolish my school when she found out that I was the owner. You know, I don't tell anybody I own it. It's a disgrace that I actually worked so hard to accomplish something so great and hide. I should not have to hide behind my success, but I do because I'm dealing with black folks. If I was white, I would probably have my picture hang on the wall and let everyone know that I'm the CEO and founder of this school. But instead, I have to hide myself. And, you know, instead of her focusing on why she was there, she got distracted, asking questions like, who's the owner? Are you the owner? And when she found out I was the owner, she went ballistic and don't feel like I was capable of building something so great. So to sum this up, is to just say to the young lady who was on the phone, I didn't even catch her name because I got onto this line very late. But when I heard her speaking, you know, that we need the organization to educate and teach our young characters begin at home. And if people are not learning to change their mentality and teach their children from home on how to conduct themselves, how to behave, how to obey orders and authorities and follow rules and stay within their lane, then the black race is doomed because it's not just in America. It's also in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
People prefer to be victims. I just went off on one of my aunties in Africa because she was calling my phone harassing me for money because she said it rained in my country and water flooded in her backyard. But I told her, in Puerto Rico, in Mexico, these people have lost everything. You know, these are people who have lost loved ones and family members from natural disaster. Yeah, she's sitting in Africa calling me to send her money because water came into her backyard from a heavy rain. I call that a complete BS. I tell her she needs to stop trying to be a victim and start putting herself out of her misery. And that's what I personally have done my whole life. I could play the victim of the war because I came to America as a refugee. I came to this country when I couldn't read or write because I had to survive a brutal civil war. But yet, I challenged myself. I have written and published 2 books. I have built multiple businesses. And I am living a whole lot comfortable. I have peace in my home and my life. Than most people who are born in this country are filled with the opportunity right at hand. But yet, I swallowed my pride and I said, I'm going to submit myself and build a school to help my people and teach them how to feed themselves better than giving them a piece of bread. And I'm being attacked every day. I'm going through a full challenge of my own people trying to tear me down because I'm a young black African female who is doing something that most black African American women have not dreamed of. It is a shame. It is shameful. And it is a disgrace. So to end this, to cut this conversation short, is to say people like to be a victim. They'd rather create a lawsuit and sue you for what you have worked hard for, or they'd rather, you know, sit around and let a storm damage their house versus getting out of the way so that they can collect money from FEMA or be a victim for the next 20 years and get a $200 check in the mail because they were a victim of a storm. To me, that's complete BS. We need to change our mentality, and that's where it starts. It starts from home, and it starts from people hearing the truth. I'm speaking boldly tonight because this is what people don't want to hear. Pull yourself out of your misery. Nobody is responsible for yourself or for your action. We all came through the birth canal the same way, and one at a time, we are going to exit. So we are responsible for ourselves. What Brother Lou is doing, I choose to be a member because I believe in his vision, in his dream, in his goal. And I will stand with you, Brother Lou, because you don't sound like a broken brother. You don't sound like you're trying to be a victim. You sound like you have vision for what was an intention. And that alone is the foundation that I believe. And it's I stand with you. But when certain people who feel like, if I become a member, are you obligated to do X, Y, and Z? None of us are obligated to do anything. When I build my business, I'm not obligated to do jack. I mean, literally, I don't owe anybody anything. But I do things because I see that if I can change one person's life to be better, then I'm satisfied. I may not change the whole world, but at least let me try to contribute back into my community, into this world that I exist. And like I said, it starts with self. Each of us has to contribute by changing our thought process. We are not joining this because we have expectation of getting something out of it. We are joining this because we have expectation to put our hands together as one unity. Through our action, let others watch our action. And then out of curiosity, say, maybe I can do better too. And maybe I can take that step as well. So that is the platform from what I can see. You know,
I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm loving it. I mean, I'm ready to join you. I don't know what the, I'm scared. I'm serious. Cause you are speaking truth. I'm sorry that you're still going through your challenges while you're trying to help. I remember that's what happened when you initially came on. You said that you're trying to provide opportunities, you're trying to provide training, you're trying to help, and then, you know, it's like you're getting your hands slapped away and facing these challenges, sister. And, I mean, you know, on behalf of those brothers and sisters down there in that area, I have to apologize on their behalf, but that's why we're doing what we're doing, and that's why we're still pushing it, right, because it's something that we need to figure out. So.
Exactly. And, like, you know, I have a lot of respect for you. If I didn't, I wouldn't be on this phone. Trust me. My life is so busy. But one thing I am so exhausted of is lazy ignorant people who feel like somehow somebody out there or the government or their neighbor or their parents or their friends is obligated. No, no. Nobody's obligated to anybody in this life. Even the parents are not obligated to you. They would have pushed you out and put you in the trash. Out of love, they kept you, they nourished you, they groomed you, they got you, they protected you, and you have enough common sense to stand on your own, then it's time to rise up. This sky is our limit. There's no limit to our existence. If you think outside the box, then you will realize that you can actually levitate if you wanted to. And that's how I think. Like I said, I came to this country as a refugee. I could not read or write. But I have published 2 books. You can find on Amazon. I'm not even going to say the name because this platform is not for me to sell myself. You know, I built a school, and in 2 months, I'm launching a nationwide campaign for a huge company. I will tell you about it when the time is right, but I'm not going to say anything until I launch it. But this company, I can guarantee and ensure each and everyone who's listening tonight, it's going to change your life. I promise you. Why is that? Because I'm thinking outside the box. I'm not sitting around waiting for someone to give me hands out. I've maxed up all my credit cards, and I use every penny in my account to launch my own businesses. I never got a penny out of the bank, and no, I'm not joining the organization because I'm waiting for Brother Lou to do something for me. I'm joining this because I feel like I can use this platform to help somebody else. But if I feel like I'm waiting for him to, this is the problem with our black community. We want to do things for our own interest, and it's sad and it's sickening. It is disgusting. You know, I'm not religious based. I don't go to church because it's annoying. I pray, yes. I believe in God, yes. And I read my Bible, yes. I believe, yes, Jesus Christ is a personal Lord and Savior, yes. But you will never catch my foot in church because it is a religious organization. People use this platform and abuse them. And I Brother Lou and I, we have never met. This is probably our third time talking. So, no, he didn't put me up to this. I'm just serious of what I have been hearing on this conference call of so many people just, you know, the question is, what can you do for your community using this platform? That is the ultimate question. It's not what can a community do for you. Without this organization, what can you do for your community? What legacy do you leave behind if you start breathing today for your children? Don't even go beyond your community. Just for your children. You know, are we crapping a budget? Are you going to die and leave them in bills? Or are you going to leave them aware? We got to think outside the box. And we got to think beyond ourselves. And I promise you, if we start thinking like that, our home will be clean. Our family will be settled. You know, we will not have so many angry black men getting shot because of stupidity. They will not be out in the street being stupid. A lot of the people who are bringing to my school are mothers. And I tell them, you have to think beyond where you stand. Gain this education and build a business.
Sister, you're breaking up a little bit, sister. But we got a few people. We got a few people in the queue, and we're getting close to the end hour. Sister, okay. When we have the next members meeting, sister. But anyway, send me an email. I want to know exactly what's going on, though. So
okay.
Send me an email.
I will.
So we can go. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah. Good night.
Sister Barbara.
Hello.
Peace, sister. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you? I've been missing the calls because we just went back to work, and I'm trying to get used to these hours again. That sister that just spoke just now, I would love to talk to her.
Sister Grace, right?
Oh, I would love to talk to her.
Yeah, she's fired up. Because she's actually doing something. She's trying to do something. She's trying to help, and, you know, it's frustrating. It's frustrating.
It is. It's very frustrating. I see it every day because I'm working with students in the school districts. So I see this all the time. and it's sad. And she's right. There was nothing that she said that I could not disagree with. I mean, that I could not, I had to agree with everything she said. Let's just put it that way. She is just on point. I need to talk to her.
All right.
Can you put me in touch with her?
No, I can't. I can't.
You can?
All right. Yeah, I can.
Because, yeah, she's got ideas, and I would like to talk to her about some of her ideas, and maybe I might be able to help her. I don't know. If I can, I try. I would really try to help her with that because I know what she's going through. I understand.
All right, no problem.
Okay, thank you.
Nope, no problem.
All
right. So we got Sister Vanya. There you go, sister.
Okay, I called you earlier. I was on here earlier, but I had to come back on after hearing that young sister who just got off the line. I actually disagree with her, okay? The problem she may be having, it may be because of her attitude and not understanding what is going on in our communities. We have to understand what is actually going on within the communities, within these families, in order to understand them, in order to offer help. But if you already have an attitude, you already think that they don't want help, you already think that they have issues that can't be solved, then why would someone want to come to you to get help? Because you're almost like the white man who's judging. Okay, so sometimes we just have to understand if you're going to help people, if you're going to go into communities and do the things like I do and it sounds like she's trying to do, you should be compassionate. And I thought that's what this organization was trying to do as well. We're trying to be selfless, right, in order to help others in the future and hopefully help those now. But,
well, I mean, I can't speak to what's going on with the sister, but, I mean, she, from what I understand, is she has a school. She started a school. She was trying to provide a way for the sisters in her area and her community try to provide them a way to earn income, and they were attacking her and basically being ungrateful. If you go to the website and you listen to my interview with Brother Rossi, when I talk about it, my situation was still the same. So people deal with that in different ways. I took that abuse or whatever it was, lost whatever it is I lost for trying to help people, and here I am doing it again because of the way that she had to build herself up, like as she said, come to this country, you know, not able to speak the language and all of these other things, and then still make something of herself. She's probably thinking that there should absolutely be no way or no excuses for people who are here natively. I don't really know. She's in the queue, but I don't want to turn this into a debate, because that's not what this platform is for. Because differences aside, we're all on this call for the purposes of trying to resolve problems. 302, which part of the country is that, 302?
I'm in Delaware.
In Delaware, okay, right. And so we got another brother here from Delaware too. So the conditions may be different with what you're dealing with in Delaware as opposed to what she's dealing with there in North Carolina. We just don't know.
The conditions of black people are the same absolutely everywhere we go.
Well, but maybe the reception to what it is that you're doing is a little bit different or whatever. I don't know, but here's the thing. I am beyond focusing on differences. We're here to say that, okay, we understand it's a problem. So that's the thing. And Sister Grace, I see you in the queue, but if it is to come into the queue and to start her back and forth, I don't want to have that, going on tonight. We can do that on social media. We can do that on Facebook and social media and all that other places.
Right, I understand.
This is clear for everyone.
Too much time in order to vent against us.
Well, she's a sister who so she's doing something, and we understand. And again, you know, she's a member. She's been a member for quite a while, and she's been, you know, showing her support. That, you know, so when someone is a member, they, you know, we allow them. I mean, the members are the ones that are allowing the guests to even come on the call, right? So they're paying for this. So, well, you know, when a member has something that they, I'm sorry. It's not paying the vent. What it is,
because you just said that she's the sister who's doing something.
No, I know what I'm saying.
She's the only sister who's doing something.
Sister, what I'm saying to you is, I mean, when someone is coming along and they're saying that they're having challenges, or they're saying that they're frustrated, this platform is for brothers and sisters to discuss about the challenges that we have amongst our people in an organized and an intelligent fashion. It's not to start a shouting match or to do all of that. People can go on social media and do that. This is a bit more organized to do that. So when she began becoming impassioned with what she was saying, I didn't want to be rude and cut her off. I'm just saying it's so, you know, it's just not there. You know, it's just not, this is just not the venue to say I disagree, because if you both agree that something needs to be done, then how about we work and collaborate on that?
I agree.
All right. Okay. Right. Thank you. Okay. So we have, so we have Sister K, Sister Grace. Sister Grace, if you are trying to do a rebuttal, sister, like I said, we don't want to do the back and forth. And then we have Sister Shamika and Sister Sony and Sister Keisha. Okay, so hold on. Sister K.
Hey, I just want to feed off of what all our ladies were talking about. I really just want to say that our people, I think they were mad. You know what I'm saying? We don't like the state that we're in, how the media portrays us. And we need to understand as leaders that all people are not natural leaders. We need to basically pave that path to create our own funding to develop our neighborhoods, schools, bring jobs, et cetera. Things that we already know that ultimately influence sources like the media, which then changes our mindsets of ourselves and their mindsets of themselves, because they look up to the media. And as leaders, we understand it, but they don't understand how much it really influences them. So when they're, you know what I mean, disrupting other black businesses and things, they're mad. They don't have that. They don't understand that, and they don't see themselves as that. So they're mad. They're going to try to do it. As leaders, we need to push through that and not let it control, you know what I mean, alter the direction that we need to go in, and don't let it stop us, if you understand what I mean.
I do understand, but it's a learning process. And right. Again, that's why I said at the beginning of the call, you know, we're pioneers, we're trying to blaze trails, we're dealing with a lot of things that haven't been done before or haven't been done successfully or however you
right.
want to call it. So it's a sister
who has her own business. She was the lady tried to rebuttal basically what she was saying, as if she doesn't like black people doing that to ourselves. No, we understand that they're mad, but we need to change their mindsets, change their ideas of themselves. I'm done. You're good. I start getting onto a rant because I'm really passionate about it. I understand both views, but we need to balance it out. Don't cancel each other out. As a leader, we get it, and everybody won't understand what we understand, but we need to make sure that we understand and now push through and let them follow us. Let them follow us. They don't understand the route that we're going in, but they'll follow once they see the results. So let's show them results so they have something to follow, if that makes sense. Okay?
It does.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
Sister Grace, is this for a rebuttal or is this something to add on positively?
No, it is positive, Brother Lou. I have too much respect for you, and I don't have time in my life for rebuttaling. I just wanted to, you know, give the young lady some comfort to let her know that I have lived and reside in America for at least 26 years. America is the only country I know, because I came to America when I was a teenager. That's one. Two, I married an African-American man, and then he abandoned me and his son So, yes, I have lived with African-American, and I have not had quite good experience, but I have not yet given up on my people.
And so thank you. I appreciate that.
I just want to put that out there.
All right. Thank you so much. And now we have Sister Shamika.
Hi, Brother Lou. Good evening. Sorry, but yeah, the young lady just before me actually already stated what I wanted to say, and that was coming back on the point of, yes, we understand that we have so many challenges in our community, but we have to keep to the forefront the knowledge that it has been a systemic issue that, you know, even white America, even other races don't recognize the stuff that we have to go through from a standpoint of the propaganda and the things that happen in the media. And this has been happening for generations upon generations of generations. They already recognize how to get black people to shop. And I heard the young lady earlier saying that we need to stop shopping, boycott these holidays or whatever the case may be. And it's because this system is so deep and entrenched that we can lose sight of that and start thinking that, hey, our people are just lazy, our people are this, our people are this. I agree with the caller before. Our people are tired. They don't see, they can't see the forest for the trees. A lot of them don't see how to get out of their situation and haven't been given the tools. You talked about the Yiddish school or whatever that the Jewish people have been going to since they were young kids. They are being given the tools to understand how to live and survive in this country as a unit, as a team. Nothing about us has been set up to bring us together. You go back to the house, nigga, the field, nigga. That's all we know is division. So this group and everything that we're doing is new, you know?
Right.
Yes, we've come in from a Martin Luther King perspective, but this is trying to get everybody together to pool our resources, not just our dollars. That's the first of it, but pool our resources to create something that is going to be a legacy for the people and the kids and the generations to come after us. So regardless of whatever, we have to keep in the forefront that there's a system that is operating locally, nationally, globally to prevent us from moving. And I get it. You know, the young lady, Sister Gloria, you created several businesses. You pulled yourself up by the bootstraps. I could say the same thing, you know, for myself. I would say that I live the American dream, but that still doesn't keep me from recognizing the situations that are going on in our country and that we're just going to have to fight that much harder as leaders, because as leaders we can see the issues. We can see the gentrification. We can see the privatization. We can see, you know, all of those things. And we got to collectively think about how that's affecting our people and what things we need to put in place to help them, to educate them so that they can drop some of the bondage and the baggage that we've been carrying for so long. So that's the thing.
Absolutely, sister. That is very insightful, very insightful. And you hit the nail on the head. Sister Kedra. Sister? Hello? Hello? Sister?
I'm sorry, can you hear me now? Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Cool. I'm not going to keep us long. I know that we've all been on this call for a really long time, but I really just want to celebrate, like, right now, like, all of the things that I've been hearing. I love, absolutely am in love with our mission. I'm excited to become a member. I'm loving the passion and everything that I'm hearing. I don't want it to be misfocused or misguided as anger. I think that we have a lot of passion. I think that we are resilient and amazing, beautiful people. And once we unite, there's no stopping us. So I'm excited, and I definitely just want to say big ups to Gloria. Miss Gloria is the one who's running the school, right? That's her name?
Grace, Sister Grace.
Sister Grace. Sister Grace, big ups to you. I know that you is not easy. I know by far it is not easy. And we constantly have all kind of people judging and wanting to title us for something that we're not. But big ups to you. And I want to take my hats off and bow to you and say thank you and just share my appreciation and my excitement for our future. So I had to come back to the call to say this.
Yeah, that was that. Thank you. Beautiful. It looks like the call is going to keep running because this is a hot one. So we got a few more people in the call. Sister Bonnie, Sister Laveria. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And Brother Chris T. All right. Thank you, sister.
All right. Good night, you guys. So I'm going to check my email because I'm going to end the call now.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Just check the email and I'll click it. All right. Sister Bonnie.
Good evening, everybody.
How you doing, sister?
I'm doing pretty good. I just wanted to add some encouragement because I think that's what we all need. We need some encouragement. It's not easy anytime you got to deal with a bunch of us, black folks. It's not easy. And the reason it is so hard is because we have to remember, and I understand that Sister Grace may not fully understand this. I'm sure she knows, but she may not fully understand it, is that for generations, we've been taught to act a certain way. We've been taught how to mistrust each other, our own people. This is what we've been taught. Over generation after generation after generation, hundreds of years in this country. Now we are finally starting to wake up and say, hey, wait a minute, this has to stop. My hat's off to Sister Grace for what she's doing. Don't let nobody discourage you. Don't do it. Because what you're doing is good and it is needed. Just know that whatever you do, however you participate in pulling our people together, it's going to be worth it in the end. It will be worth it. Sometimes we don't see it, but it is worth it. People are starting to see, our people are waking up and they're starting to see, wait a minute, things are not right. I don't like the way things are going. I don't like what we've been taught. I got to do something different. And she's doing something different. And she's doing something positive. But we got to remember that a lot of our people, we've all been taught. We've been conditioned with the propaganda and all the other good garbage that's been out there for years. Good garbage, because that's what it is. It's a whole lot of garbage. We've been taught a lot of things. I mean, even our history isn't right. If you start looking at what we've been taught, even that's not right. But the thing is we're seeing, and we're now acting on it, and we're now trying to do something about it. And it's going to take a lot of perseverance. It's going to take encouraging each other, because we got to encourage each other, because we can't wait on this white man out here to encourage us, because that's not going to happen. They're going to give us just the opposite, discourage you to keep you from doing what needs to be done. But I'm saying, sister, keep doing what you're doing, because you're doing the right thing. Don't let these people get next to you. Even if they are black people that's out there, they don't understand. They haven't become awakened to what actually needs to happen in our community. But those of us who have, we're going to do something about it. And it's not going to be everybody. It's just going to be a few of us that's going to actually take the reins and run with it. And that's a part of what Black Lives Matter. I mean, Black Wallets Matter. I know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
it's not about Black Lives Matter. It's about Black Wallets Matter, because our money matters, and they try to discount us, and they forget about the trillions of dollars that come into our community. But we're learning how to keep some of that money in our community and not let all of our money go into their community. We don't want to finance what they're doing. We want to finance what we're doing. And she's got the right idea, and she's working on it. But all I can say is just keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
I'm doing it. That's all I got to say.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, so I guess we're going to just keep going. This is a hot one tonight. Sister Laveria.
Oh, yes, you said my name correctly. And then, again, okay. I don't know if I mentioned this before. This is my first time calling. I did hear you mention that you need members. I want to know, is there a number in mind of members where you want every state to have a chapter, every major city? And also, are there membership dues or fees or monthly, annually?
Yeah, the membership dues are monthly. So you can look at the website and you can click become a member. In terms of the national organization, we want 2,000 founding members is what we're looking for. In terms of on a local level, we didn't even get a chance to get into that tonight because everyone has been so impassioned. There is no set number for that. The local, each local ambassador, that's what it's called, the ambassadorship program. Each local ambassador would basically determine what the needs are in their local area and then decide what kind of numbers they need in terms of membership to support that. So it's just based on, it's based on the local needs. All right.
Okay.
If you go to the website to fully catch up on some of the things that you probably have missed at the beginning of the call, you can look at where it says the blueprint, which is our mission. You can learn exactly what we're about from Rooted to the Tutor, and then you can become a member there. If you do not want to become a member or you're not in the position, but you want to support the cause financially, there's a link where you can make a one-time contribution as well.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brother Chris T.
Hey, good evening.
Peace.
Good evening to everybody there. I want to keep this short and sweet and kind of add to the passion, as you mentioned. By giving everybody, in my humble opinion, a more nuanced view of ourselves and our history, because I've heard several callers say that, basically that the black experience in America has been like a slow, linear progression, and that's technically not true. If you look at our history, we deserve much more credit than that. It's not like we're just now starting to wake up. If you really look at our history, we have always excelled, but it's been in cycles. And in those cycles, we do get attacked by the system. The stronger we pull together, sometimes the harder the system comes at us. And so, I reject that myth that says black people, we can't never get along, we can't never get together. No, the history is replete with examples where black people in America have come together and have built wealth, have built power, have built communities. But the system has responded to that. If you look at the history right behind the Civil War, if you look at the 20-year span right behind Civil War, black people were getting, they had their own colleges. They were getting PhD degrees, two and three at a time. They were building wealth, their own businesses, and things like that, like immediately after they were freed from slavery. And then in the late 1800s, that was all taken away. All that wealth was snatched from them. And they kind of we as a people kind of collectively go through like a psychological depression for like a couple of decades, reeling behind, you know, the way the system came at us, and then we slowly start to coalesce and build again, like we did in the 1920s and the 1930s, you know, like the Harlem Renaissance and things like that. And then we get hit again, and then we build again, like in the 1960s, and then we get hit again. And we, you know, each, so it's more of a cycle. And we have to be prepared for that and learn from our history. So, no, it's not like we never could get it together. You know, we should be proud of our heritage. We should be proud of our ancestry as it stands. The fact of the matter is most of us don't know our history. Most of us don't know that there have been black millionaires over and over and over again, black thriving businesses over and over and over again. And that, you know, something very peculiar happens when we really work together and start to coalesce as a people. So, you know, yes, there was always this propaganda. Yes, there's always this systematic machine operating against us because it wants to feed us into, you know, the powers that be want to feed us into the machine to keep it going. You know, and right now it looks like, you know, the everything from the criminal justice system, the school to prison pipeline, the fact that we have millions and millions of people who are disenfranchised economically, politically, socially, in terms of education. You know, and even in the midst of all of that, we have so many black people now more than ever getting college degrees, starting entrepreneurial businesses, buying homes and property. And so we're starting to come together again. And so I just want our people to look at our history as a series of cycles and prepare to try to break that when we get hit again, you know, because every time we build back up, we do get a little further down the road. But, you know, I don't want us to think that we've just been down and out forever and just now in 2017 we're starting to awake. No, our people are stronger than that. We are smarter than that. And we've been able to accomplish what we're trying to accomplish now. We've accomplished it in the past. But we just have to be smarter and stronger and learn from history. That's all I wanted to say. So it's definitely a system, and, you know, but. What's you know, like the Bible says, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And if we take our strength and our spirit and we come together as a people, we understand, look, we're still here. There are so many people who have been inflicted with the American experiment. They're not here anymore. But we have endured. We have endured. And that's a testament to our strength. So let's not count ourselves out and buy into the propaganda that we're fed. We can't never come together. We're all ignorant. We're this, we're that. No, we've proven too many times that we can and will rise. Thank you, brother. That's all I want to say.
No problem. Sounds good, brother. Sounds really good. I got to check some of that out. I do like that idea of cycles. That's probably something that we need to be teaching our youth. So I appreciate you sharing that. Sister Shauna. Then we have Sister Eunice and Sister Barbara, and then we are going to shut it down. Sister Shauna.
Thank you so much, brother, for letting me come back. You know, this conversation surrounding around black wallets, the black economy, our bond with one another, how we deal with each other in education, in economics, and just everyday life. Here's my thought process on it and another way to view it. You ever notice, like, how we deal with our children? When, you know, if you have children or if you have your own personal niece and nephew, right? And when your niece and nephew are your children, when you're disciplining them or you're training them to do something, you tend to be a little bit harder on them.
than you do, you know, somebody else's kids or somebody else's niece or nephew or whatever. We kind of have to deal with each other that way, because we're uniquely positioned to deal with each other in a real state. There are two sides of our coin. There is a side of our coin that is very, very strong, that is very resilient, very much looking out for one another, very much trying to, you know, foster forward what we have as a community and willing to do whatever. But we all know we got some Bam Bam, some Shaniquas that don't give two craps and that will use not only the system, but will use me and you for every dime, penny, thought that's out there. That's the truth. The truth is that we have that. And we can either treat them like we would our own children and hold them to a higher standard by which training them and getting them used to dealing with a higher standard, or we can cradle them and foster that thought process just a little bit further. Now, I just happened to come from the School of Hard Knocks, and I was raised in a, you know, for lack of better words, you know, a no bullshit kind of lifestyle. I just wasn't allowed to use history or someone else as an excuse for something that I could or could not do. And if that example doesn't resonate, I would liken that to being an athlete. There was a movie not too long ago that talked about an athlete having to go against another athlete that's bigger, that's stronger. What do you do when your opponent is bigger, stronger, faster, have a head start? What do you do? Do you stop and complain and start crying and looking for a coddle? Or do you figure out how you can beat them? How do you figure out how do you become faster, stronger, so you can get to where you're trying to go? And I just hope as a people that we realize that there are two sides of our coin. And at some point, we're going to have to decide. We're going to have to look at us and go, you know what? That shit, that just can't go. You know, at some point, we have to be able to hold ourselves to a higher standard and it not feel like that somebody's downing you or judging you or making you feel some kind of way, because it's really not, right? It's like if I'm coming to you to help you, what I do in my work is help small business, and 80% of my clientele is minority, you know, some type of African-American, some type of Hispanic, Afro-Hispanic, okay? 80%. And so the conversation that I have to have is like, look, you want to be in business. You want to be successful. Okay, are you willing to do the work? Or are you looking for somebody to hand it to you? What you waiting on? What do you want from people to be successful? What do you want me to do for you? And at what point are you going to decide what you're going to do for yourself? Maya Angelou made a statement, and it's the last thing I'm going to say. Maya Angelou made a statement on a show one time that she said, 50% of your life was your parents' responsibility. The other 50% is yours. And at some point, we have to hold each other accountable for the 50% of our life. And that is what I perceive Black Wallets Matter meaning, is that it's a point that we're saying that we're going to take responsibility no matter what, no matter the challenges, no matter the history, no matter the ancestry, no matter what we went through, we are going to do what it takes in order to survive. And that's all I have. I love you, brothers and sisters. I really, really, really do. There's no other person on this call that is more gung-ho and more with you. I really, really am. I just want us to think beyond where we are right now. Peace. Thank you.
I love it, Sister Shawna. I love that. And we have Sister Eunice, and we have Sister Barbara. Brother, well, we're running late, but if everyone's going to hang out, we're going to hang out. Brother Jahan, if you want to get back in the queue and explain to us that trade, your trade situation, then let's get it done while we're on the call. Sister Eunice?
Hello, Brother Lou. This is Eunice again. And I just want to thank you for the opportunity for coming back again. I really appreciate and love everybody who has contributed on this platform, and my heart goes to everybody over there. I just want to congratulate you for this beautiful job that you are doing. And as an African, I think that when we all get together with our brothers in America over here, we are going to excel, because there are so much resources in Africa that we need to exploit to make our black community be better. So I just want to just inject this into our platform for everybody to know that this great job that has been started should be inclusive and more inclusive with black people living wherever they are living, so that it can be so powerful. And when we are able to do that and we are able to extend this great commission to other parts of the world, that is African communities in African continents, I think we are going to be a very, 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 very great example. Because right now, even in Africa, Africans are trying to liberate themselves from colonialism and this escalate themselves from white supremacy. So why is it not that we work it through here and send it to our people over there? And it's a great thing that we are doing. I know that it's a small thing that we want to start before we get into international base, but I just want to encourage everybody that we should have that love and bond between us so that we can be very, very successful. But, Brother Lou, I also like to let you know if there is a possibility to connect me to Lady Grace, who is from Nigeria and who is also doing so much work over here and helping the community, the black community.
I believe she said Liberia, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think it will be great because, I mean, this is really powerful, and this is my first time. I'm going to register for membership, and I have a lot of friends that I would like them to be part of this mission, and God richly bless you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on the call. I appreciate you joining us tonight. We have Sister Barbara, and then we have, hopefully the brother can tell us how we could create this trilateral, this bilateral trade. So thank you so much, Sister Eunice.
Thank you.
Sister Bob, how you doing, sister? I know you got to probably go to bed soon, but go ahead.
I am laying down as we speak. Once again, I really did like what Sister Grace said. I really did, and I would love to talk to her. But I also wanted to mention something else. We hadn't talked about this in a while, I don't think. And at one point we were talking about black banks, black-owned banks. I was watching this program as I was getting ready for church Sunday, and they had this black gentleman, I think he's like city treasurer or something over in Chicago, and he was talking about the black-owned banks and what has happened to them. And he took $20 million and deposited it into a black-owned bank in Chicago. We need to start doing that same type of thing. I know that they aren't plentiful. They aren't all over in every state. But we need to really do our research on these banks and start putting our money where it is actually affecting our communities, because our money is going to everybody else but us. And that's money that we've got deposited into these banks and credit unions that are not black owned. They are going toward building projects in other communities, and it's not helping us in our neighborhoods and our communities are still not benefiting from this. We've got to start supporting our black banks by putting our money there. We're going to have to. And I know it's going to be hard because they are so sparse. But we're going to have to try, because if we do that, we could build up maybe even just one black bank where that black bank can branch out into other areas just like the majority's white banks have done. We can do that.
Okay.
So I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you, sister. Yeah, you're right. We haven't discussed that in a while. But it's something that we need to bring up. I think we need to have a plan. But I'll talk to you more about that behind the scenes. I did send you a message, so you should check your phone. I sent you a message.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Okay, brother. Hello?
Yeah, this is Brother Jahan Mansour, Silicon Valley, Africa, India, Inc. in San Jose, California. Okay. I appreciate this opportunity to just kind of share a little insight. We have been able to identify a blessing from God for our community. And it's based on how we can make our country work for us like it worked for other groups. You have to understand that during the beginning of World War II, America didn't get involved. We were isolationists until Pearl Harbor got bombed. And when Pearl Harbor was bombed, overnight we turned our manufacturing capability into defense-based capability, and we ended the war. At that time, we became, along with the former Soviet Union, the dual superpowers. Now, at that time, we established the first ever international trade that America had, and that was in rebuilding Europe. During that time, a tradition was established for whenever the United States identified a country or region to become trading partners with the United States, then that tradition that was started and had proven successful was that the ethnic American group representing that targeted country or region that wanted to be a trading partner with the United States would play a leadership role in making sure that that legislation was successful. Now, the reason for playing that leadership role is simply because whenever the United States government enacts a law, what it does in effect is it harnesses the most awesome economic force the world has ever known. That force is more commonly called the full faith and credit of the United States government. And that force is used to make sure that that legislation is successful. So the first trade venture the United States had was rebuilding Europe. And it was the European Americans that played that leadership role. And, of course, we know that they made a lot of money in that process. Subsequently, the same thing happened when we rebuilt South Korea, Vietnam, Japan, Mexico, Iraq, Afghanistan. The only exception to that rule was in 2000 when the United States targeted 54 countries in Africa under the U.S. African Growth and Opportunity Act. It was our turn. Now, that was 17 years ago. To date, most of us don't even know that that law existed, so we haven't been able to take advantage of that opportunity. Now, the reason for that law being enacted was because after we became the dual superpower with the Soviet Union in 1992, when the Soviet Union collapsed, it created an economic earthquake effect on the American economy. And that was because the collapse of the Soviet Union unmasked the fear, the illusion of fear that the American government had been using on the American people to support the ungodly cost of a defense-based economy called the military-industrial complex-based economy. So from 1992, that economic engine, that defense-based manufacturing engine, crashed. So we immediately, our nation, began to try and find a new engine for growth. For 4 years, we tried a service-based economy. That didn't work. Then in 1996, then-President Bill Clinton, we began to focus on how to make trade work as a new economic engine for America's growth in the 21st century. In 2000, Congress took all the dialogue and discourse that had taken place and enacted it in what is called the African Growth and Opportunity Act. The African Growth and Opportunity Act identified 54 countries in sub-Saharan Africa that want to be trading partners with the United States. Now, it's important for the listeners to check out the 1858 European meeting when they divided up Africa, because the effects of that meeting are in place today, where different parts of Africa is controlled by different European factions. So what happened in 2000 when that act was signed, then immediately that act was signed for the United States to make the trade in Africa revitalize the American's economy. As we know, this act was signed by white men that did not have the best interests of Africa at hand. The intent was to take advantage of the resources in Africa and to value add those resources here in America, create wealth at the expense of the African countries. So in May 2000, when that African Act was signed, there was immediately we dispatched major oil companies to Nigeria, and they began to build a pipeline. All this was on 60 Minutes. How the African people, Nigerian people, fought against that, they were blown up. But we were hell-bent on raping and robbing the resources of Africa. The next year, however, was 9/11, and all bets was off of everything from 2001, all focused on terror until August 2014, and then President Barack Obama hosted the first ever U.S.-Africa summit in Washington, D.C. At that time, 48 of these 54 presidents met with President Obama, the largest group ever in the history of the United States of leaders, period, meeting with a U.S. president in Washington, D.C. Three takeaways from that meeting. Number one, the African presidents made it plain they wanted trade with the U.S., not aid. They said no more pictures of African babies with flies on their face being used to bring missionaries to Africa. The second takeaway was we, the United States, found that we were in a long line behind over a dozen developing countries doing business in Africa. Now, the wake-up call to that revelation is that 11 of the fastest-growing economies in the world, as of now, are in these sub-Saharan African countries. The third takeaway, of course, is that this tradition that had proven successful since World War II, where the ethnic American group representing that targeted area, country, or region to play the leadership role was vacant, and that was because of the unreadiness of our community. That was why I focused in my earlier introduction on identifying ourselves as Americans of African descent, which mean that we represent the United States of America. This is the only country that we can claim allegiance to, as opposed to African Americans, which also identify our brothers and sisters from Africa, but yet and still their allegiance is to that respective country that they come from. So that being said, after President Obama had that summit in 2014 in August, the following January, he hosted his State of the Union in January. That was on a Tuesday, at which time he focused on trade. That following Sunday, the Republicans had their rebuttal on 60 Minutes. And, of course, they didn't like anything the president said. They didn't like anything about him except for trade. Now, they, at that time, agreed to extend the African Growth and Opportunity Act for an additional 10 years. So it was extended from 2015 to 2025. And that was because they recognized the potential for this African Growth and Opportunity Act to become the economic engine for America's growth in the 21st century. However, another phenomena evolved, and that was the Chinese, who we had been spending a lot of money buying stuff like cell phones and laptops, had accumulated all these U.S. dollars. And in 2015, the Chinese began to come to America and flex their economic muscles. They began to buy out major corporations, courts, as well as the Chicago Stock Exchange. And they use this political power to shift the focus from Africa to the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which was the Asian focus. Now, President Obama, being a public servant, he had to capitulate. So the focus then was shifted. Well, as you know, we also had at that time a presidential election going on. Hillary Clinton supported initially the Trans-Pacific. Donald Trump didn't oppose it immediately. He said if he was elected, he was going to kill the Trans-Pacific. So when he was elected, he killed the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So that then created the opportunity for us again to focus on the African Growth and Opportunity Act. Now, we all know that the political situation here. And what it's important for us to understand is that contrary to popular belief, the power is not in the Democratic Party, it's not in the Republican Party, it's not in the president, the Congress, the mayors, the governors. The power is in the people. Our challenge is to understand how our system works, how to make this system work for us. We have the power to do that. What we've been able to do and where we would like to form joint ventures and work with each one of you all is in realizing this emerging multi-trillion, with a T, multi-trillion dollar opportunity in fair U.S., Africa, India, trilateral trade. Now, when we say fair trade, it's important to understand that the dialogue that's being kicked about is between fair and free trade. Fair and free trade are basically the difference is one is free trade means by any means necessary, and free trade always end up with one group having a disproportionate amount of the resources. As an example, under free trade, we will take the products like a cocoa bean as an example from Africa as a commodity, pennies on the pound. We bring it to America and we value add it into a finished product that we can sell for $100 a pound as an example. So the value adding is where wealth is created. At the same time, we get rich and the producer of the product get poor. Now that's the history of what has happened to Africa since 1858. That being said, what we recognize as the blessing that we have as a result of the slavery experience is now, as Americans of African descent, our opportunity to play this leadership role is what we see doing through coming together in unity with Black Lives, Black Wallets Matter, as well as with other groups. What we recognize is an opportunity to train ourselves to become productive investors. And when I say investors, we're talking about investing not only our money, but our time, and in learning, unlearning, and relearning. That's our challenge. And also, we focus on teaching how to become entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs meaning knowing how to make business deals happen. Instead of being caught up in the antiquated way of thinking of somebody else giving you jobs, we teach you how to become an entrepreneur. In other words, how to buy, how to sell, how to create customers, how to service those customers, and how to engage in trade in this global market. Thirdly, when we look at the disproportionate distribution of the wealth, the 1%, the 99% wealth gap, the question is, how did the 1% get this tremendous amount of wealth? And the answer is simple. They've been able to accumulate this wealth by amassing ownership of stocks and bonds. What are stocks and bonds? Stocks and bonds are simply certificates of paper that represent profits that corporations make. So that being said, what we recognize is that in our capitalistic economic system, the vehicle that we have to have in order to be able to navigate the capitalistic economic system are corporations. So we show how to create corporations and how the members of Black Wallets Matter, as well as our community, can become entrepreneurs, and we show you how to function by owning corporations. There are multiple kinds of corporations. The fact is that you only can do business basically one of two ways. Either do business as DBA, as an individual, or you can do business as a corporation. Now, there are multiple ways to do business as an individual, and there are multiple ways to do business as a corporation. Two basic corporate types is one, the for-profit, the other is the not-for-profit. Contrary to popular belief, both of them can generate money, can make money. However, the nonprofit is limited to how that money can be used. That being said, what we recognize is there's a role for all of these different entities. For instance, the Sister of Grace with her nonprofit, with her school, nonprofits are a good type of corporate entity for that. Now, what I would like to say is, with the lateness of the hour, I am just sorry I didn't get a chance to hear all of the presentation, but I got your website, and I'm going to be on it. I appreciate this opportunity to introduce ourselves. But again, the name of our company is Silicon Valley Africa India Inc. The website is F like in Silicon, V like in Valley, A like in Africa, I like in India, I like in India, N like in Nancy, C like in corporation.com. And my telephone number is area code 415-314-3592. Now, we have an opportunity right now that God has sent us in the form of this President Donald Trump. And I say the opportunity in the form of President Donald Trump because it's not about Donald Trump. What it's about is who we are as Americans. And the fact that the Declaration of Independence is what we base our foundation on. And that Declaration of Independence, where all men are recognized as with certain inalienable rights, these were made, this declaration we know was signed by white races that owned slaves. Nevertheless, those words are divine words, divine in the sense that they are in concrete. They are words that mean the same to us as to anybody else. Under our system of rule of law, our challenge is to understand how to...
Brother, okay. I was, you know, letting you, I guess if I let you go, I guess you can continue. You can fill us in with all types of things. Specifically, what will we be importing? What resources are available? What are the trades? What kind of trades are you talking about specifically? What resources are available?
Very
what
specific.
Will we be importing from India or Africa?
Very specific. We're talking about two-way trade in all of the sectors. Now, I'll give you sectors. That's agriculture. That's energy. That's water. That's industrial, commercial, residential, infrastructure, transportation. All of the entities is what we're talking about trading in. Did that answer your question?
So you're saying that, I mean, so let's just take energy. What are you saying? Like we're going to import some oil or something like that from Africa?
Good question. We have an abundance of technology. Our asset in America is technology. The space program created a mountain of technology that's a gift to America. We have used less than the tip of the iceberg in the kinds of technology that we have, which includes the internet, which includes all of these other kinds of technology. So that being said, what we have with this abundance of technology is the ability to create our renewable energy. Africa, the 54 countries in Africa, there are over 700 million people without electricity. They don't have, that means they don't have light, they don't have it to cook with, they don't have access to electricity. We have an abundance of the technology here in the form of solar, wind, water, all these different forms of technologies that we show the individuals that have spoken on this program tonight as an example, that are interested in going in business, how to package that technology and export it. Now, let me use an example of the model. The model that we use for exporting our technology is the same kind of a model that was used back in the early 80s when the Arab countries found themselves in the same position that the African countries are in today. That is, the Arab countries needed technology in order to value add their natural resource, which was oil. And to get that natural resource, technology was exported from the U.S. by white boys in Texas, in Louisiana, in Oklahoma, in the form of petroleum engineers, chemical engineers. And this technology was exported to the Arab countries, and the rest is history. The white boys made so much money that they were able to, when 9/11 happened, to close down, to run the country. Now, that being said, the business model, to answer your question in terms of how we do that, is that model. And that's what we're talking about. The diverse kinds of projects, products, goods, services, technologies, ideas, innovations is what we're talking about in all of the various and diverse sectors that we label under human development, community development, economic development, and political development. Did that answer your question, my brother?
Not really. I was saying something like leather. We're bringing in leather. We have people who know how to do this with the leather, and then we're going to sell the leather. But I am going to say this. It is really, really running late. And so we thank you for coming on the call. And I guess you can – I mean, I do recall you sending me the email. Again, I'm just not really getting it. I just don't understand. Maybe someone else can probably.
Don't feel bad. Just like one of the sisters said, it's a learning curve for us, brother.
Yeah,
coming together, that's the blessing. We'll have an opportunity, you know, because this is with love. You have a capacity to just like anything else. You know, our challenge is to learn, unlearn, and relearn. And so, you know, our connection is what the blessing is. So I'll be able to share with you very specifically what we're doing, how it fits in, how we can form joint ventures, strategic alliances, and working relationships so that we can all work together for mutual rewards and benefits. This is a multi-trillion, with a T, dollar opportunity for our community. and I'll be able to, we'll talk about that more in detail. So you have my phone number. I have a lot of information on the website. We have other information we're willing to share, but this is our opportunity. And so I'm just thankful that I had this opportunity to meet you. I'm looking forward to discussing more in detail with you, answer all the questions, and to show how we can take advantage of an opportunity as we speak. President Trump has had failure since he's been in office. Three pledges that he made that's uniquely an opportunity for us, and that is how to fix the inner cities, how to make trade work for American workers, and how to revitalize the economy. And we look at being able to fix the inner cities, that means us, in the same way that the Europeans were able to make trade relations with the European countries. Koreans with Korea, we look at 54 countries in Africa the same way for us to establish the relationships that will allow us to create entrepreneurs that can do trade deals. And we teach you how to do that so that instead of asking Walmart and other white people for jobs, we create jobs. And when I say create opportunities, we're talking about being able to become diamonds and gold and precious metals, make the bling bling instead of buying the bling bling, as an example. Agriculture, industrial opportunities. Those are some of the kinds of things we can talk about more in detail at the earliest.
All right, brother. That sounds good. We got two people still in the queue. I can't believe this call is still going. All right. Thank you so much, brother. So we're going to take these last two calls, and then we are going to shut it down. Caller from 773 area code. We didn't even get your first name.
This Romeric, man. What's going on?
Peace, brother.
Peace, peace. I was listening to the dude. He just got off, and he just got off the line. And you were saying that you didn't understand where he was coming from. Well, maybe we need to hook up, because I totally understand where he's coming from, and I've never heard him or the idea before, but I totally understand. Because he's absolutely right. Right now, black people in America, we all have the technology and the knowledge to bring Africa to a whole nother level. You see what I'm saying? We have because they're only going to trust us. They're not going to trust the white boys. So we have an opportunity, really, like he said, to make trillions of dollars. Because if we can go in and we can build up their infrastructure and bring them the technology that they need for lights and building and you know what I'm saying? The same thing that we got here. Man, do you know how that's? I haven't even thought about that. But as me listening to him, he's actually on to something.
Okay? So you think that technology doesn't exist in Africa?
Man, no. What I'm saying is that
Akon is building all these wide solar things, all of these places, all the countries that have resources that are being exploited by all these other places. I don't know if you ever watch any of these documentaries.
Yeah, I know all about Akon. I know what he's doing.
I'm not talking just Akon. I'm just saying when these Europeans and Chinese and all these
when they come into
Africa and they start mining and doing all these things, they're not living like in hovels. They're living with like certain amenities. Things are there. They're bringing in electricity, whether it's from a generator or whatever it is. The technology is there. I was saying specifically, how are we setting up the trade? I get the concept. I get it in its conceptual sense. I am saying how do we actually execute it from a practical sense, right? So, but I get what you're saying, and I'm not saying that it's not possible and all of this. I thought that what he was saying was something more practical as opposed to conceptual. And so it's like I said, you know, we have, you know, people that are making leather. We're importing leather. We have these people who are turning the leather into bags, or we're teaching them how to turn them into leather goods, and then we're selling them through a specific channel. That's how I was thinking it, and then saying, what are we exporting specifically to Africa? Because we as a people here, African American, the only thing we produce are athletes and entertainers. That's it. We don't produce
anything.
No, we
don't. Wait, whoa. Slow up, bro. Right there was a racist statement.
Listen. Okay, I hear you, brother, but you know what? It's late, and I really don't have...
Because we have people in Harvard. We have people in every college that there is. I mean, we have people that are engineers right now. That's the thing. We glorify the athletes. We glorify the athletes. We have people in...
What do we produce? What are we known for producing? What are we known for producing?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. We produce everything. We just don't get the credit. The companies get the credit for everything that we produce.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? We are the working force that knows how to produce everything. It's just that these big companies are the ones that's getting the credit. We are the workforce. We are the ones that are doing the producing. You have to have a people in order to build a product. Now, just because your name is Mattel and you own the Mattel company, the people that built all your toys are the people. They are the ones that know all the technology, not you. You just own the company. You understand what I'm saying? The technology is in the people, not in the companies. You see what I'm saying? And if we can get the people, right, our people that know these things, go to these different colleges when they're getting out and get them on board to do what he's saying, it's unbelievable where we could go. Because the narrative of we just produce athletes and football players, no, we don't. We produce everything in this country, from doctors all the way up to neurosurgeons, to all the way up to technical engineers, all the way up to cyber police. You understand what I'm saying? We are in every bit of America. We, as a people, know everything. And me, I know how to use solar. Hold up. And the thing about it is, I know how to use solar energy without even using the sun.
All right, brother, hold on. All right, I get what you're saying from that perspective in terms of we have the knowledge. But like I said,
right, so we just have to get the people together.
Okay, so this call should have been over about an hour ago. We have one more.
No, man, I came in late. But
right.
What was that guy's name that just got off? Because I'm on board with him. What's his name?
Brother Jahan. His name is Jahan, and I think his name is Jahan.
Jahan.
Yeah, and his website. I forgot his website. I'll send the link or something to you.
Okay, you got my email?
If you got on this call, I have your email.
Okay. All right. Please send that link to me from that brother, because he's on something. Seriously.
Okay.
Love you, brother.
Sister K, and then we're going to shut it down. I am tired.
Hey, I just wanted to have Brother Jahan's number again, if you had it.
Where is his number? Where is he? 415.
Mm-hmm.
His number is 415-314-3592.
Okay. And for the other guy, it's SVA.
That is him. That is he. That's the same brother.
Yep. Okay. All right. Thank you. Bye bye.
Okay, brothers and sisters, that concludes this Black Wallace Matter Town Hall meeting. I want to thank everyone for hanging out with us. This has been a long one. I am tired, and I know you guys are too. This is, what is this, about 3 hours now? So I want to thank everyone for calling in, and if anyone is not a member, then we want to invite you to join us, and I will see you guys next week, Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Good night.